from her steep castle of sorrow and slate. Lorelei reigns over men and their fate. The river below, its faithless embrace, rests her grave and unquiet birthplace.
"What's that from?" asks the skinny girl.
"It's a legend," says Captain Plouts, keeping his keen eyes peeled on the perilous currents of the River Rhine as he pilots the paddle boat. Just ahead is the watery grave of many sailors, littered with the flotsam and jetsam of ships that crashed against the jagged rocks.
"Why'd they crash?"
"Well, that's a longer story," Plouts says, scratching his white beard.
"Will you tell it to me?"
"Yes," he says, pointing to a large coil of thick white rope.
"Take a seat there.
What's your name?"
"Melino. But you can call me Mel."
"Okay, Mel. I'll begin with the Lorelei. When she was beseeching her husband, Heinrich, to be careful, 'The sea is a dangerous mistress,' she said, 'and shall not claim you as her own.' Her husband reassured her, 'Do not fear, my love. I set sail tomorrow, and I will return in 5. His rough hands, calloused from the ropes and nets of his livelihood, caressed her blonde hair. "You are my one true love, Lorelei, and none shall take your place." The days dragged by in slow, dull torture for Lorelei, alone in the sitting room of her humble home, in Rüdesheim am Rhein. She played the lyre and sang sad songs for 3 days to pass the interminable minutes until her husband's return. Men, captivated by her voice, stopped still in their tracks as they neared, pressing their ears to the window, heedless of the horses and carts that rumbled along the cobbled road. On the 4th day of longing, a string pinked free from Lorelei's lyre. She grabbed her basket, woven from the small branches of saplings, and made her way along the cobblestone streets to the market. Passing by a shadowed doorway, she saw the butcher's bonny daughter embracing a man wrapped in her husband's cloak.
"Why was the man wearing her husband's cloak?" Mel asks.
"I'm getting to that.
Was this in the olden days?"
"It was centuries ago, yes."
"Oh,"
Mel says, slurping on the straw. The captain continues. "Lorelei recognized her husband at once. She cried out, 'Heinrich!' But he turned away and led the butcher's daughter further into the house, shutting the door behind him." Lorelei dropped her basket onto the muddy road and screamed and cried. Then she ran and ran until she reached the banks of the Rhine, and she climbed and climbed the steepest cliff she could find. She paused at the top, gazing down the sharp precipice, then leapt to her demise.
"That's stupid."
What? How old are you anyway?"
"I'm 11, Mel says. "This sounds like a fairy tale. My mother says fairy tales have a lot to answer for. The way they give girls unrealistic expectations of marriage and relationships."
"Well, I don't know about any of that. Do you want to hear the story or not?"
Mel nods.
"Persephone, a Greek goddess, took pity on Lorelei's lifeless body and turned her into a beautiful nymph. She gave her a golden lyre so that Lorelei could play and sing to the captains on the ships as they navigated the Rhine. And she gave her a golden comb so that Lorelei could brush her golden locks," the captain says as he steers the paddle boat toward the middle of the river. "Plucking a lock from the golden cascade, she fashions a lyre, a lyrical braid. her voice pure and heartbreaking, leaves stones shattered from aching. Seafarers in their small ships hear whispers of promised love in their ear. Beauty beckons, a tempestuous kiss, caressing echoes from the precipice. Captains and sailors, bring me your ships, nearer to hear the song on my lips. Forget your wives, forget all others, before you lies your eternal lover.
So, she's like a siren? Mel asks.
Ah yes, like a siren.
She's killing, like, loads of innocent people because her husband was an ass.
Young lady, that's no kind of language.
Ass, like a mule. I mean, a jackass, Mel says quickly, swirling the straw in the bottle. If I were a boy, would you care if I said ass?
Well,
The captain trails off, his eyes drawn to the woman gliding toward them, her sandals padding softly on the deck.
Ah, lovely,
he whispers under his breath. As she approaches, she removes her sunglasses and shakes her blonde hair, which falls in golden waves, partially covering her bare shoulders. The wind whips the skirt of her pale green dress, billowing gracefully around her sculpted legs. Her smile is sly and bright, her lips red and full.
Madam, the captain says, please allow me to introduce myself.
I am Captain Plautz.
Nice to meet you, Captain. I see you've been entertaining my daughter.
Your daughter? Oh yes, I see the resemblance,
he says doubtfully. Mel rolls her eyes and takes her mother's hand.
He was telling me a fairy tale.
Oh, what about?
About a siren who lures men to their deaths because she's mad at her husband because he cheated on her. And now she's getting revenge on men because I guess she's a man-hater?
Of course,
Mel says, drawing out the oar in course for effect.
But you'll never guess what she's called.
I may have heard this story before, her mother says, smiling.
We're approaching her now. If you look on your left, you'll see a steep cliff, more than 130 meters tall, made of slate. That's the Lorelei, the siren. She was great beauty, but not as beautiful as you, Miss.
Melino's mother holds out a cool, slender hand. Miss Girton, she says, shaking the captain's clammy hand.
Lorelei Girton.
The captain's mouth drops open before he snaps it quickly shut. And Captain, Lorelei says, you better watch where you're going. These are treacherous waters.